Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Friday Feels Justine's version. It has been a freaking hot minute since I hit record for this podcast because summer, life, all the things. If you're listening to this, you probably understand what I mean. I'm just going to jump right to it because this is going to be kind of a different Friday Feels. Instead of me just talking to myself, I'm going to introduce you to one of my friends. I'm actually going to probably start bringing a few friends around here on the podcast because I have been told by several people based on my stories that I have the most incredible friends. They're right. And so I thought, why would I gatekeep that wonderfulness? So over the next, I don't know, whenever I release episodes, you're going to start meeting some of my friends, starting with Sarah Frandina. Now, Sarah, I'm sure, is going to be here more than once. We have a long history that I'm not going to fully explain because we do not have enough time for that. But the most important thing for you to know is that when Sarah is joining me on the Friday Feels, Sarah with no H, by the way, then these sessions are going to be called the Long Live Studio Sessions. Swifties, I know your ears are ringing because that's familiar for more than one reason. You'll hear more about that. Back to this moment, Sarah Frandina and I have been friends since I think 2018 when we started working together before she had her first baby. Our clientship turned into a friendship, turned into a long distance sisterhood where we share two halves of a brain. We met in real life in August 2022, hung out the spring of 23. And then most recently spent a week together in Los Angeles, where we saw Taylor Swift in concert, not once, but twice. So many stories related to that. We have a lot to unpack. So let's just unbuckle those grief cases and dive right in. Sarah, say hi to the people.
Hi, people. It is so wonderful to be here. And I could just listen to Justine talk all day. So I kind of feel bad that I'm intruding on this space, but thank you.
Oh, my Lanta, you are like the other side to the conversations I have in my head most of the time anyway. So it feels very, very natural to have you here. Now, is there anything that you just like want to say that people should know about you before we go into this?
Oh gosh, that could go down so many rabbit holes. I was thinking about this on my way home just now, getting ready for this call, that Justine has run the idea by me of recording a podcast episode probably about 35 times. And every single time I'm like, that sounds great. And then I just don't follow up because I'm like, that makes me really nervous. And I don't know what I talked about. And then, today I was thinking about, I'm like, I'm on some new shit and saying yes instead of no. Sorry, had to. But also, like,
Absolutely.
I think this just leads so beautifully into some of the stuff we want to talk about because right now it just feels like, why not? Why not jump on and have a conversation? We have so much fun chatting with each other. There doesn't have to be anything massive tied to this. We can just have fun. And I think that's what we're both learning is like, we can just have fun.
Yes, we can just also show up like revolutionary thing. But so one of the things, because I was also trying to think about what we were going to talk about, it was like before I meet anyone in the like in real life, I'm always like, are we actually going to be able to talk, or is this just like going to be dead silence? And so even though you and I have spoken almost every day for the last 5 years, I was still like, what if we hit record and then it's just dead silence? But then I remembered that that never happens because our lives have just intersected in these really complementary ways for a long time. And so, on that note, what I was thinking about is the fact that it is right now the end of September, right? And for moms everywhere, parents everywhere, September is like the new year. Like January just gets pushed to the side. What is even happening then? September is when we have a fresh start. So, on the podcast, I've been talking a lot about, self-care rituals, how we meet our needs, all that jazz. And right now, I really find myself revisiting my routines and my rituals. What are the habits that I have, and are they in support of where my life is right now, because so much of the work that I've done up until this point around self-care and stuff was about being in survival mode. You know, it was initiated by my own postpartum mental health experience, and then the pandemic, and then multiple natural disasters. And the last few years have just been the gift
few
that
things,
keeps,
few things.
Gift that keeps on giving in the trauma world. But that said, like we've both done a lot of healing work specifically around some of those like survival, fear-based, reactionary wounds, let's call it. And I really have found myself shifting towards wanting to build routines that support more and amplify like joy and play and fun and creativity. And like, again, both sides of the feeling spectrum are important. It's what makes life whole. And there was a time that like those glimmers were literally just glimmers. But I feel like, especially this summer, coming back to the LA trip, it was almost like a full-on palate cleanser when it came to routine and ritual, because again, like both Sarah and I have two children between the ages of what is your little three?
Two.
Between 2 and 8. So we've got collectively 2, 4, 6, and 8, I think. Right. So it's a very full on time of parenting. And when we were in LA, we had a week to just be with ourselves.
Just be.
Yes. And then returned back into home life, applying what we've learned. So on that note, Sarah, I want to open up the mic to you. And I want to hear a little bit about like what that looked like for you. How did you survive September? And, you know, what do you find yourself kind of getting grounded in and using to move forward?
Yeah. So it is funny because when January rolls around, I usually just want to like curl up into a ball and hibernate and not talk to anybody for about 3 weeks, because we're coming off of the holiday season, whatever you celebrate, and just like a couple months of just like nonstop things. So January never feels like the reset or the restart or the refresh for me. It feels like the tired and just want to rest. September does have that energy, and I feel like it's carried over from being little, but it has that energy. And now as a parent, it is the, okay, we've got back to some semblance of routine after 2.5 months of just a friggin' free for all and trying to piece together childcare and camps and activities, vacations, all of the above. So coming into September, I really looked forward to that, but it's also like, I can't plan for anything because it is a time of transition for the kids, right? So like my 2-year-old stayed at the daycare she's at. That wasn't a big transition for her, but my 4-year-old was going into kindergarten, and that was a big transition. So it's huge. Like, even with looking forward to the routine, I knew that I had to leave room for the turbulence that would come with that change. Yes. So September has felt really, really good in the sense of getting back to routine, but also what I'm doing differently this year that I did not do the last few years is build in that buffer and understand that not only do I want to make space for the joy and the play that you were mentioning, but one of your other really important 4 R's is I need to make time for rest for all of us, for all of us. Because as tired as I am, I know that my 4-year-old is exhausted as well. So this month has been really kind of like a recalibration. And I think October is going to feel like, okay, we're actually settling into something.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. And it's like, it's funny because in a way, it makes sense that September, we have all of that energy, even though summer is chaos, because it's like we have filled up on vitamin D, on like vitality, all the things that summer season represents. And then, yeah, September is that transition. I feel like October, we kind of land, and then the Thanksgiving season kicks off too, with that, again, full on holiday mode. January, we're hungover, like metaphorically and sometimes a little literally.
In so many ways.
Everything in moderation, even moderation, as Mama Grace likes to say. And so September does really offer that perfect time to kind of reevaluate. And so one of the things that I've been doing differently from an actual like tactical perspective, I mean, I've been learning a lot about how my brain functions in the last many years. It's funny because I feel like the first part of my postpartum recovery was so attuned to the emotional regulation and maintenance and well-being, blah, blah, blah. And once I got that under control, it's like the mental things started to really show themselves. Like I have a different brain than I did before I had kids. That is just full fact. And for a long time, I've really like relied on digital tools to help me stay organized and stuff. But there's two problems there. One is that like I'm just losing things in the ether. Like I know that I put it somewhere, but I can't always find it again, which is tough. And the other thing is that I guess like systems and stuff that I use digitally, they don't really have limits. They're like a limitless type thing. You can set the limits theoretically. That's a whole other headache of learning and whatever that I do not have bandwidth for, not looking for suggestions there. What is working for me right now is like, where can I pare things way back? And I think that's part of like what LA really created for me was this sense of like, when I'm in my home, there are always not just responsibilities, but so many dependencies on me that it's like a bunch of tiny things. But there's just that constant. Did you see the reel going around about mom math? There's like the really funny girl math, boy math. And then mom math is the like mental calculation of like subtracting time and
For like what time
buffers.
you need to be somewhere, and yes, it's
Yeah.
always going on.
Always going on. I'm like reining in the story from this morning and yesterday about what went down related to that. Another time, another podcast. But yeah, so like that mom math in terms of like not just time, but also just keeping track of other people's social calendars and their nutritional needs and their sleep needs and whatever. For 7 days, I only had to think about meeting my own needs. And this isn't the first time that I have, left my kids since having them, but when they were so much younger, just again, that mental bandwidth still weighed on me so much. But now they're at an age that like they're super independent. Like they're fine. They understand what's going on. And like I could really mentally unplug from that. Yeah. And so in that, I had this chance to really just look at like when I am moving through the day, just meeting my needs, what activities am I drawn to? What am I really feeling fulfilled by? And what is realistic to bring back into my everyday life? Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I think one of the hardest parts about getting away is the whiplash of coming back and being like, that was so nice. And now I am thrown right back into it. This was different in that it was, first off, it wasn't a quote unquote vacation with kids, which is not a vacation, it's a trip.
No, that's yeah, traveling with kids.
Absolutely. But like you said, we had those moments where we could just pause and be like, you know what? Right now, I just want to go up to the rooftop pool and make bracelets. And it doesn't matter if we do that for 20 minutes or 2.5 hours, because we
Yes.
get to decide. And when we're done, we can be done. For
Yes.
me, it was also, this was the first trip I took, the first solo trip I should say, where I wasn't trying to be in two places at once. So this is something I've felt myself do a lot of times because we've moved a lot over the last few years where, you know, we left one place and I was still trying to live my life there while establishing a new life somewhere else. I found myself doing that with previous trips where it was like, I still wanted to be texting at the right time to tell my 4-year-old, like, good luck with this. Or I
Yeah.
wanted to be FaceTiming when they were available and eating dinner despite the time change. This time, like, my husband and I went into it with the expectation that we would send pictures when it was convenient, but otherwise it was okay if we didn't have
Yeah.
a live chat for the 6 days. And it actually made it easier For both of us, because when I am trying to be in both places, my kids are trying to rely, they're relying on that. Like, why didn't we see mama at bedtime? Why didn't we eat dinner with mama? And then I could relieve myself of the pressure of being like, oh, I didn't call at the right time or I missed that window. But it was so nice to have the surprise and delight of, oh, they sent a picture or I sent them a picture. So that made it even that much sweeter for me.
That extra layer of pressure, it's wild how much it ends up weighing on you and actually robbing from the moment that you're in, which again, like pressure is the thief of joy. Like if that's what we're feeling, then we're not soaking up the other side of it. So one of the things to make sure that I am like, creating that space to, so oh, actually no, I'm gonna start that again because I want to say something else because you mentioned about the chaos of coming back. When I got back from LA, the number of people who asked me, like, how did it feel to get back in terms of like, was it really hard because LA was so awesome? And then you had to come back to like real life, capital R, capital L, real life. And so we had a really fun experience where we met somebody, Darnell.
Official name.
While we were visiting LA and just had like a great conversation that night, and we were talking about it feeling like, for me at least, like a chapter and or like an insight into what my life could have been if I went down a different track or whatever, but how that doesn't leave me feeling like I'm at a loss because I know what I have at home and I'm grateful for it in spite of the chaos. And so because I was able to like mentally unplug from there, be present in LA, soak that up, knowing that as fun it is as it was, I didn't want that to be my real life. Like, I don't know, there was just something really sweet about, like, it was a real sweet spot.
And to your point of imagining life if you had gone down a different path, I also felt like it couldn't even be a real representation of what life would have looked like because I wouldn't have been able to show up to the conversations that we had or the places we went as the person I am today without everything that's happened over the last few years, right? And how much I've changed. So, like it didn't give me perspective on, I needed all of this to happen to get to this place. And yeah, this feels really good to get away for a little while and I'm okay with going back home.
Yeah, and I felt like I came back home with that part of me in a much clearer light or like more crisp perspective of just being like, oh, there you are. You know, like I have talked about so much, and I hear so many other, women especially talk about how becoming a mother, you lose yourself, right? And we have to fight really hard to almost like it's so okay, it's so interesting because, and again, this could just be my experience. That's going to be my caveat for everything I say beyond this point.
In
This
my
could just be
experience, yes.
in my experience. We can all relate to that sense of I'm losing myself. But then on the other side, when you're trying to find yourself, you don't know exactly what you're looking for, right? It's like there's almost either I think I wasn't really fully connected with it before realizing that I lost it. It's almost like, yeah, I don't know how much farther to go down that metaphor thing, but or that I just didn't know how to name it. Right?
Well, and for me, the first year postpartum with my older kiddo, it felt like I had lost myself and I was trying to go back to that person I was. And it took me a little while to realize how impossible that was. I was really trying to cling to that, especially because the people in your life treat you like the person that you were, right? And so that's what I was trying to respond to and accommodate. And instead, what I needed to do is look forward and walk into the uncertainty of, well, who am I now? And am I okay with losing people that aren't okay with that? But also, that's how I met incredible people too.
Totally. It's just that double-edged sword of like, you can't have one without the other. So you just kind of have to like, you have to learn how to accept it.
Yeah. Man, this
but
is
yeah.
a therapy session here.
I was planning to just talk about like bullet journaling and coloring and squares and stuff. And we'll still get there because dopamining. But, oh shoot. What was I going to say right before that? Help me retrace my steps. Shoot.
Losing yourself and
Losing
figuring out what's
yourself,
next.
finding yourself. I wanted to talk about, oh, okay. Yes. In that deconstruction process for me, I'm so self-conscious about how I say process now. I said process a lot. And then once you pointed out, I think that the difference between process and process, and now I don't know which one is right. As a side
I have
note.
never pointed that out to you because I just
Oh,
thought that
someone else
process
did.
was the Canadian way of saying process.
Oh, no, that's the thing. I think what you pointed out to me, I didn't even realize that there was a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
Process.
anyway. Oh, no, I had the thought and then there it goes again.
The train
Anyway.
keeps leaving the station.
It's jumping tracks. In that process of trying to find myself and like deconstruct whatever all those pieces were, I really had to reckon with like how much of the you know, mask I had put on, the person I was presenting, how much of that was me and how much of that was me trying to fit in and like shut down these other parts of myself. And I think that, so again, like the years, I just like the timing of this trip could not have been more perfect. It's like, I feel like in the years leading up to that, I like was kind of identifying these pieces, but then the trip gave me the chance to actually fully live into them and express them and try them on and have that like embodied experience of like, yes, this is it. Yes, this is it. Like, again, even something as simple as making the bracelets by the pool. I make bracelets now all the time because it was so much fun. And like, and that is something that I can just do as a part of my everyday. Like, I want a little dopamine hit, just like put together that bracelet, tie a little knot. It feels so good.
Yeah. And I think that's what it was. It wasn't, hey, we're going away to escape from our daily reality and pretend that this is our life. It was
Yes.
more that we had, for me, 6 days, for you, seven, of actually being able to listen to our bodies and respond to our own needs and feeling like I can do this. And I needed the space to realize what that felt like and what that sounded like. And then coming back, I mean, like I rode a high for the rest of August where I was just like,
absolutely,
I feel so good. And nothing changed at home, you know, but something absolutely shifted where it was like, I can ask for what I need. I can feel more seen because every single day in LA, I just felt so seen. And I was like, that's what this feels like. How can I
Yes.
get more of this?
Yes.
So it did feel like it was, again, like this recalibration, which is a word I keep coming back to, but of like, okay, this is what I want to feel like on a daily basis. And nothing really needs to change at home except how I show up and how I listen to myself. And
Yeah.
I can bring pieces of this into every day.
Yeah. And I think that word recalibration is really important because I think that we collectively tend to think that to, you know, feel drastically different in our lives, we have to do something drastically different. And the deeper we are in our hard feelings, the more extreme I think sometimes we think the like release on the other side needs to be, versus looking at, yeah, like where do these volume knobs or whatever exist in my life, and how can I dial them up and down, knowing that that's the thing that changes how I show up, because like that cliche, no matter where you go, there you are. Like, it's real.
It sure is.
Sure is. Sure is. Oh man. So one of the things that I've like really found myself dealing with lately, as I think a symptom of whatever needs, expressing needs, is I've been like avoiding my phone like the plague in so many ways. I've been on it like for years for work and like it's old, it doesn't work that well anymore. And I just, if there's an option to not be on my phone right now, I for like whatever stuff, I kind of want to choose that. And I feel really bad because,
Yes.
like, I'm bad at responding to messages and stuff like that for that reason. And I just have to trust that people know it's not because I don't care. It's because I hate my phone. And so, in that, instead of like, I don't know, trying to organize my life on there, I started using actually like bullet journal again. Remember those days? And
Oh,
like,
yes.
because it got to the point I'm like, I was spending so much time in this zone of like trying to like automate and optimize and do everything so efficiently, which like my brain just isn't necessarily wired for. It like isn't in some ways that aren't always helpful, but like in actual practical ways, not so much. And so I was not actually enjoying any of it. And now, in the pursuit of fun, play, creativity, I have like this just pack of like colored markers, and I am like coloring all over this thing, like writing my to-do list in rainbow colors and coloring in blocks when I do the thing. And like, I'm so proud of myself because I've used
And
it
you
for
should
3 days
be.
in a row.
3 days. You should get a prize. Like, I mean, that's like three stickers on the sticker chart, right?
Oh, can you please start a sticker chart? A sticker chart. Sticker chart for me. Please
We are not
start
sharding stickers.
a a sticker chart for me because like
Yes.
the shit I'm trying to work on right now, when we were in LA, my big revelation, I'm getting too excited now. Revelation was I'm not actually that messy of a person when I'm only cleaning up after myself.
Snapping for that one.
Like, I am capable of like doing a thing and then, putting the dish
I am
away.
neat, tidy, and organized. Yes, I am.
Praise
When I'm
be.
cleaning up my own shit.
My own shit. Ugh. Anyway, but what I took away from that, because the thing is, I can't stop that I have two like hobgoblins who are just hell-bent on ruining every sense of order I introduce. I can't control what they do, but I can try to make those like tidying and organizing systems a little bit better. And do you know what my kid did the other day?
I can only imagine.
It's probably going to be better than what it was. So the other day, I, in my pursuit of September, preparing for October and beyond, had cycled their wardrobes. So one of the things that I introduced in this past year, because I'm trying to fold less, is I put all the kids' stuff in like cubes and we just like put it in there. Like grab all the shirts, put it in, whatever. Making sure that they can access all the cubes and know what's in them has been a sticking point. But I finally got it organized so they could. I put labels on it, whatever. Yesterday morning, this is actually the story I had to put a pin in earlier. Yesterday morning, my little decided that he did not want to go to school. And so,
Of
to
course.
express that, he decided that he would not get out of bed or get dressed. So,
Reasonable. Yes.
as one does. I mean, I do get that. Like, there's so many days I'm like, I don't want to get dressed and out of bed. I am legitimately still in my pajamas right now, and it is 11:32 in the morning.
Well,
That's
you look
okay.
wonderful.
Thank you. This is my bed head, and I've been wearing this like Adam Sandler look for the past 4 weeks, probably. It's fine.
It works
Everything's
for you.
fine. I'm in Sad Girl Autumn. It's okay. So he, I like put clothes for him to wear. I'm like, I get it. Mornings are hard. Like, here's your clothes, whatever. And then I went to go, make his lunch and make his breakfast and meet every other need that he has. And he comes out and he's like, Mom, can you come to the bedroom? And I'm like, no, I can't come to the bedroom right now because I'm making lunches. When I'm done this task, I will go do this other thing. Because this is also part of my like effort of rewiring my habits and my like whatever is that urgency is not pressing. I thought I need to stay on task. He
Ooh,
comes out
where is this
probably like,
going?
oh, he comes out like three more times to like ask that I come to the bedroom because he has something to show me. So finally I finish the sandwiches. I'm like, all right, buddy, I'm coming. I walk in there and he dumped out the containers of clothes and ripped off the labels.
He undid the
And
system.
he undid the fucking system. And the way he looked at me.
This is that moment where you're like, I know you're not the devil, but
But also at
there's a
the same
little piece
time,
inside
I
you.
don't know. Dear Lord,
I
we
can't be sure. I
have
can't be sure.
to raise this child with the utmost love and tenderness, or else he is going to turn into a sociopath. Like, anyway, no pressure. No pressure. So, anyway, I told him I wasn't happy, and then he got upset because I was like using a stern voice. And then I'm like, well, how did you think this was going to make me feel? Like, what were you expecting when you did
Yeah.
this? Like, anyway, so
Then we go back to, we can set the systems up, but when there are other players in the game that don't want to follow the rules.
I know. And so, where I ended up kind of leaving it, and I mean, this goes into a whole other story about consequences that I'm not going to get into, actually. But the benefit of the system was that I was like, well, you know where it goes. And like, now you have to clean it up because,
Yes.
like, that's the one of the things that I'm actually working on at this moment with like the recalibration and learning of new systems is like teaching the kids them at the same time. Cause I realized a number of times that I'm like, oh, go clean your room, go like whatever. But I've never actually explained to them this is how you clean and this is how you
Yeah.
organize. And
And this is where
so,
things go. Yes.
yes. And so I'm trying to really teach them at the same time that I'm learning, which like isn't that just parenting in a nutshell? First, we had to learn
100%.
to control our feelings together, and now we have to learn how to clean up after ourselves.
Yes, and to go back to our point of when we are cleaning up after ourselves, we are very good at
I love the thing too of like, well, who do you expect to do this for you? Like,
When I
anyways.
was prior to this conversation, I was volunteering in my 4-year-old's kindergarten classroom, and it was game day. And at the very end, the teacher has all the kids come to the rug and thank the parent helpers. And her line was, without them, none of this would be possible. She's talking about game day, but I'm like, hey, you mean all of this, not possible. Thank you. Thank you for seeing that.
Oh, seriously. The amount of like the how, what am I trying to say here? I want to say like the amount of the distance that whatever a thank you goes,
Yeah.
like just the like even I think again when we were in LA, like one of the things we were joking about was that we were mothering each other. Like yes, we only had to look after and meet our own needs, but again, when that cup is full, generally you want to also, care for people that you care about. And so we, yeah, like got to look out for each other as well. And like, because we're grown ass adults, we would thank each other for it. And like, the whole thing was just like, oh, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Like, it felt like the good place, like sending a bottle of champagne to thank you for sending me the bottle of champagne to thank me for sending him.
Exactly. The never ending chain. I mean, I woke up to coffee every day. I don't know what I did for you, but that was magical.
I mean, you were my sugar mama. You held on to the US dollar for me until I could make the currency send it back your way.
Yes,
So
yes, yes.
thank you for making all of that possible.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Okay, so I want to switch gears here because one of the things I said at the top of the hour was top of the hour. Why Do we have to go a full hour for it to make sense to be top of the hour? Or does that just mean like.
No, I mean, we started at the top of the hour
Okay, cool.
ish.
Anyway.
At the beginning.
Beginning. In the beginning, then I made a comment about these being the long-lived studio sessions because when we were in LA, so minimalism was like a real trend in the like years and years and years. And I still like, I'm on board with all sorts of things. And I love the idea of maximalism as well. Where can we get the most out of this? And so realizing how difficult Taylor Swift tickets were going to be to get, we really wanted to try to go to another show. And I'm trying to be a little more like financially responsible as I age. And so it didn't feel right to like borrow from rent money to pay for these tickets. So I'm trying to like manifest in my life all that stuff. And so we kind of put our heads together and said, what if we could come up with the money to fund a second ticket? Would we go? Obviously, yes. So,
110% yes.
can you tell the wonderful people about how we scored our second set of Taylor Swift tickets?
Yeah, so about 2 weeks before we left, we started brainstorming a bit, and Justine and I have worked together for a while. But one of the things that we're really good at is playing off each other's strengths. So we said, what if we combine our superpowers and create an offer? And that came together over 2 weeks. For me, I am a conversion copywriter. Justine is a stellar writer and content creator. So bringing those two things together. And again, this is where going back to just like play, experimentation. I felt for the last 10 years of running my business that I couldn't touch content or it would say something about me as a conversion copywriter because those are two very different things. And then I was like, hey, this is really fucking fun. Like, why have I been so staunchly opposed to this? And just because we were coming at it from like this place of absolute play and with the goal of getting Taylor Swift tickets, we had so much fun literally just vomiting words onto a Notion page full of Taylor Swift lyrics and puns and
So
references.
many references.
And as we both took this to different groups that we're in and just started talking about it, we realized, like, hey, there's actually a need for this. And what it turned into was what we're calling Long Live. And it is the repurposing and maximizing of content by prolific people. So people that have put their expertise out there for years or for seasons of podcast episodes or in any sort of format, but they haven't felt like they've actually been able to leverage it and do something with it. And there aren't enough people listening to it or reading it or getting their eyes on it. So we know so many of these people who are absolute geniuses. And typically they tend to be women, women who are out there doing the work, serving others, and they are not getting the credit that they deserve. So it kind of came together beautifully where we could amplify the voices of women doing it with what we do best, which is taking their work and giving it new life, bringing it to new places in front of new people.
Well, yeah, and like I know for myself, again, like on the note of like people that have the they're sitting on that gold mine of content and don't exactly know what to do with it. It's like in the like postpartum and still today years, like I've spent so much time just like living in podcasts and like learning from them and healing through them and stuff like that. And it's just like this needs to get out to more people. And so it was so serendipitous, I think, the way that the like the motivation to try and go to the concert really gave us like the deadline and some of the like constraints that we needed to shape the offer. And then as we were pulling it together, it just started to become so much more apparent. Like it was so aligned with where we are right now. And like, because even one of the things, because coming back to that idea of like, how are we setting up our lives, recalibrating so that it is more supportive. Like, I think that for both of us, we've been caught in a lot of like launch writing and stuff like that, where it's like you have these like deadlines or things are happening live, and there's always fires to put out with launches. And doing something like this, it allows us to have more control over the timeline, I think, and how it like fits into our days instead of being run by like external deadlines and stuff like that. And I don't know, it's just the people that we're working with right now are up to such cool things that like I consider myself just like stupid lucky to be able to be doing this right now, and like being able to tell people the story of how we, because we like put this whole idea together, reached out to a couple people, we sold the offer on the Monday morning, and we were at that show Monday night.
And yes, we put the sales page together and put a button on it on Sunday.
Yes. So yes, we did.
Yes. And I think two things that stand out for me are the fact that when we talked about it and mentioned that we were putting this together in order to fund a second round of Taylor Swift tickets, people came to bat for us. They, yes. I mean, this sparked joy for them too, knowing that this was going to fulfill our millennial dreams of
absolutely
attending a second Taylor Swift concert.
My heart is beating faster just talking about it. Like, right?
Just feeling other people not being like, oh, like how greedy of you, but more like, oh my gosh, if I sign up for this, I help you do this. That's amazing. So just finding those people that are really interested in lifting you up. And then the second part of it is knowing that, you know, the two people that we are working with now, because we sold that offer, we completed that work, and then we signed more work, which is wonderful because Justine and I are realizing how beautifully this fits into our strengths and where we want to go. But when the two people that we did end up signing the work for with the rest of this year, they're two people that have so much incredible knowledge and work in fields that are dominated by men.
Yes.
And any reference to knowledge in these fields typically traces back to white men who wrote books in XYZ era. Mm-hmm. We want to bring their voices to the top of the game because they're the voices that matter and that more people need.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially like, yeah, it's like there are so many different ways to get to the places that you want to get to. And right now, all the roadmaps, most of the roadmaps have been written by people who had a lot of that background work taken care of for them. And yes. So to be able to learn from people who were doing all of that and still managed to just create this brilliant body of work is like, and then to come back to the whole, like, again, this whole year, summer, whatever, it was like, it felt like healing girlhood, right? Between like the Barbie movie and the Beyonce tour and the Taylor Swift tour. It's like there was just so much unlocking of that power and almost like recognizing, like, I don't know if how much you've been made fun of for liking Taylor Swift over the years, but I have heard a joke or 200,000, but it's like to finally, there's two sides to this. It's like to get that validation of like, okay, this is great shit is lovely. And to be at a point where you don't need it is even better. And that type of energy is like the platform that we are building this on, where it's like, yeah, like the women that we're working with and amplifying their messages, like they understand this process as well and like are taking that fully realized power and putting it out there in a way that it will reach more people. Like,
yeah.
It
I mean, and
is
if there
just.
isn't, if there's anybody that has exemplified the power of storytelling and writing, I mean, props to Taylor Swift. Like, she's an epic storyteller, right? And I mean, I was at a concert 2 weeks ago, and a friend turned to me and she said, "Do you think they actually wrote all these songs? Like, people don't actually expect people to write their own music anymore, it seems." And like, when you look at the body of work of Taylor Swift, that is a person that knows how to write and to amplify it.
Yes, and to lift people up with her. Right? So it's like not trying to like climb over people to get to the top, but like to be at the top and to try to do good things with that power. You know, is like
We
chef's
could go
kiss
on and on about
to
that,
our
but I do
queen.
have to say, in terms of like the feminine energy and power that this summer and going into this autumn has brought, I love that in this most recent highlight of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, I love
Oh.
the idea that Travis Kelce, I'm just Ken.
That is amazing. I love that so much. I love them so much. I can't wait to see where that goes. Okay. We are going to wrap things up here because I have very carefully blocked out my day in my bullet journal and I need to make sure I have time to. I didn't put on my to-do list record this episode because I knew that I would do it. I knew that I would
Amazing.
do it.
Okay.
What I wrote on the to-do list was publish it. So that's the thing that I have to do next. I want to wrap up with sharing some wise words from our Queen Miss Swift. As I pull that up, because I'm going to try and like play it directly from my phone so that we get to hear her loveliness.
Ooh, I like that.
Is there anything else that you want to share with the people? Any wise words before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I mean, they're not my words. They are also Miss Swift's. I'm not going to play it, nor am I going to sing it. I'm just going to say it. But in the spirit of play, experimentation, and lifting each other up, the lyric that stood out for me today is absolutely so make the friendship bracelets, take the moment and taste it. You've got no reason to be afraid.
You're on your own, kid. You always have been. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Okay, let's see if this works.
The worst kind of person is someone who makes someone feel bad, dumb, or stupid for like being excited about something. Like, I don't think you should ever have to apologize for your excitement just because it's like, I don't know, just because something's cliche doesn't mean that it's not something that's awesome. The worst kind of person.
Okay. So.
That is, yes.
Yes. So
Praise.
that's if you take anything away from this episode, my darling listener, let it be like Miss Swift said, don't let anyone make you feel dumb for the things that you love. You love it because it's awesome. So screw them. Yes. Okay. And actually, the very last thing that I should have said before, like that would have been a good spot to wrap up. But I do want to let people know if you want to hear any more or learn more about our offer, Long Live, creating timeless content, do head over to longlive.studio. That is a full web address, longlive one word, dot studio. You can get all the details there. And if you want to buy any friendship bracelets, because make the friendship bracelets, take the moment and taste it. You can go to vigilantegifts.com. That's where the bracelets that I compulsively make are going to be available for sale. So that's all I think. Thank you so much for listening to the Friday Feels, the Long Live Studio session. And I'll be
I can't
back in
wait for
your
the next
ear.
one.
And I'll be back in your ear holes at an undetermined time because I am more persistent than I am consistent. So. Have a good one, friends.